Before we open God's Word this morning, I want to draw your attention to a book called Running and Being by Dr. George Sheehan. Here's what he writes. I am at best nearing the end of the race. Until then, I was just a mediocre distant runner. Just one of the many run-of-the-mill competitors well back in the pack. Just one more old man trying to string together a six-minute mile and never quite succeeding. But with the finish line in sight, everything changes. I am equal to everyone. I am world class. I am unbeatable, he writes. Although gray-haired and balding, my face starting to wrinkle, I am world class. Gasping, wheezing, groaning, with every movement, but unbeatable. That's where we find ourselves in God's Word this morning. Paul is at the end of his life. And this is what he writes. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, for the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. One of my favorite movies of all time, maybe it's yours as well, if you're old enough to remember, it's Chariots of Fire. It's a story, really, of two young men, Abrams and Eric Liddell, who are at Cambridge University. It is about 1924, and they are preparing for the Olympics. And yet, they are nothing alike. Abrams is a non-practicing Jew. His whole goal in life is to run and to win. And in the running and in the winning, he finds his satisfaction and his joy. Eric Liddell also loves to run, but he runs for another purpose. He runs for the glory of God. He runs to use his life and his gift to advance the cause of the gospel. It is there that Liddell finds his satisfaction and his meaning and his hope. The way and the reason they run are so different. I mention that because we get what it's like to run, don't we? Maybe you understand when you and I came to faith in Christ. I don't know when you came to faith. I came to faith at the age of 10. And I remember the excitement and the passion of talking about Jesus. I remember inviting people to come to faith. I remember when I was in that young teenage years beginning to work, telling anyone at McDonald's who would listen about the story of faith. I couldn't wait to go to church classes. Couldn't wait to go to church on Sunday. And maybe you know that same excitement in your own story. But then life somehow seems to get in the way, doesn't it? Maybe it's school. Maybe it's your first job. Maybe it's getting married or starting to date. Maybe it's having children, and then a little later on, it's running your children off to every little program in the world, and the things of faith seem to have come not just to a sprint, but to a walk. Paul challenges us this morning, and he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul's using the language of running. He's using the language of the Olympics because he knew that the hearers actually got it. In fact, what Paul's actually referring to in this passage is the idea of a boxing match and the agony that goes in and amidst that boxing match that you can endure and you know what it's like to have boxed a full round and then you come out of the round. And then you got to carry on with life. What Paul is saying in our passage is that he's given his all. He's done everything possible. And so when he speaks of running, he speaks of the runner who has finished running the marathon. And that's what he says again in Philippians. Not that I have already obtained all this, or pressed, or already arrived at the goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Picture that kind of marathon or that kind of running. One commentator says, think of it in this way. The year is 490. A Greek runner, a Geronimo, a messenger named Philippides, was dispatched by the Greeks to inform the citizens of Athens that the Persians had fell, that the battle of Marathon had been run. And he ran the way up the coast, which is said to have been about 26 miles. And then when he arrived in Athens to declare the good news that they had been victorious, he dropped dead. The hearers of our passage would have been very well aware of the context of what we're talking about. Because the Olympic Games were already underway. Several of them had done long marathons. And so when the games to which we knew it were reinstated around 1896, a 26-mile race was introduced. Did you know that in 1998, 450,000 Americans gathered together to do such a marathon? The marathon was said to have been like running up Mount Everest and running back down. Several had completed it and several had not. And they knew the joy and they knew the pain of running a marathon. And if you're a runner at all, you hopefully have more joy than more pain when you're running. But we get the reality of what's going on in a race. You may recall that in the 1971 Pan Am Games, there were two runners. One was named Frank Shorter, and the other was U.S. Olympian Kenny Moore. They were both running to prepare for the Pan Am Games, and Shorter had run, and he had run, and he had run, and he had hit a wall. Now, if you know anything about running and hitting a wall, you know it is the point in a marathon or a race where you've got nothing left to give, and all of a sudden your body and your mind says no more. Well, Shorter, not that far from the finish line, hit the wall and he stopped. Well, Kenny Moore, who became a U.S. Olympian, soared right on by him and had finished the race. Now picture that in light of Paul's story. In all that he had gone on, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, of the Jews, five times I received 50 stripes, save one. Thrice when I was beaten with rods, once when I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day, I had been in the deep, in the journeyings often, in the perils of the water, in the perils of robbers, in the perils of mine own countrymen. In the perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painlessness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. I have fought the good fight, he says. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Is it any wonder that Paul was even able to walk, let alone run? Because picture what he had just gone through. And yet he would go to Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia Minor. He would go to Ephesus and he would go to Corinth and he would go to Philippi, and he would preach, and he would teach, and he would lead people in the faith. And he kept on running, and now he's at the end of his life. He's about to die, and he's saying, you can run too. Finish the race. I have kept the faith. But running is hard, isn't it? I just think of other stories that we might know. I think some people you may recall. Jimmy Swaggart. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. They're remembered for not finishing the race of ministry. But we forget all the people they have led to faith. We forget all of the good things they have done. And we forget that they're still running the race amidst all the scandals that went in and amongst the ministries that they held. And they're remembered as not finishing, and yet they're still running. I think of Judas, who came to faith. Some say he never actually really believed. He at least for a moment believed because he followed Jesus. But then he goes on and he denies Jesus, and he never gets to understand grace or hope or victory, and he ends up taking his own life. Run the race. I don't know what your story's like, but I think of my own grandfather. He was one of the most godly, biblically wise men that I've ever met. And at the end of his life, he goes, I hope that I'm going to go to heaven. The last man that I would have expected such a thing for, but then in that midst of that struggle and that difficulty and the wrestling of his own faith, he echoed these words, but I will hold on. He would finish the race because he knew deep within his being that he belonged body and soul to his faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and that God, because of grace, would help him to finish the race, much like Tim, a guy who has been in and out of rehab all of his life, who struggles with an addiction that he just can't seem to break. And yet Tim, too, knows the value of the faith in Christ, and even in the midst that he's not in a good place right now, he's still holding on. He's still running the race. Paul wants you to hear that this morning, is that you and I can run the race, and we can run well, and we can finish the race because of the story of grace. It was 7 p.m. It was October the 20th, 1968. Mexico was holding the Olympics. The picture you see there is Mamo Waldi of Ethiopia. He was the first runner to finish the race, and he finished faster than anyone else. It was said that when he finished, he was ready to run another race. He ran the race with such vigor and such strength that he had lots left to give. But there, on the other hand, as the lights were beginning to be dimmed in the stadium, where almost everyone had left, was John Stephen Akari. He was from Tanzania. And there, as bells began to ring, as sirens began to come into the stadium, few stayed. But those who did stood up and they began to clap, because they are bloodied and bandaged. Akari of Tanzania entered the stadium and he had finished the race. He was later asked why he just didn't quit, why he didn't stop, why he didn't give up. And his statement is very profound. And this was it. Tanzania did not send me around the world to quit the race. Isn't there something profound about that in your story? God, who created you with a purpose. God, who brought you into being because he wanted to have a relationship with you. God, who has a specific purpose and a plan for your life, who poured out his Spirit, who called you to faith, who redeemed you by grace, who says, I will be with you to the very end of the age, says, don't give up. I created you to finish the race so that we could be together for all of eternity. So what do you do with it? What do you do with our passage this morning? Because running a race is a marathon. We weren't meant to do it alone. We were meant to do it in community. I believe the first thing Paul wants, I think there's two things he wants us to get, is this, is to bring as many people with you to the finish line as you possibly can. Here was an Olympic runner. He, in fact, had hit the wall. He was injured and he was stopping to run. And his father jumped over the stands, broke through security, put his arm around his son and helped his son to finish the race. And if God wants you and I to run the race in community, he wants us to bring as many people with us to the finish line. How do I know that? Because Paul's a great example. For 13 years, he had taken Timothy under his wing. People were saying, why would you have chosen Timothy? He's weak and he's timid. Could you imagine being Timothy and everyone doubting you? Everyone second-guessing you? But Paul says, no, I believe I'm going to hold on to this guy. I'm going to invest in him. And then I'm going to release him for ministry. If God wants you and I to take as many people to the finish line as possible, who can you take with you to the finish line? Who, like Paul, can you invest in? Who can we invest in that maybe much younger than us? And what I love about older saints is you have so much gifts and so much wisdom and so much talent and so much experience and so much understanding of the working of grace that you can not only walk alongside of a young person, but you can release them for ministry who may do church totally different, who may think about ministry totally different than us, but hold to the very value of Scripture. Who can you release for ministry? Now, if you're on the church's email list, you got an email for Pastor Jack. What a great way for you and I to invest in the next generation. If you're on the email list, and if you're not, send an email to the church, all the contacts on the bulletin, and we can get you on there. But what an opportunity to invest and to pray for the next generation. And maybe it's not only we pray, but maybe we text, we Instagram, we Snapchat, we email, we whatever other thing it is. But even maybe more than that, we bring someone alongside of us so we can share the story of grace. So they can not only encourage our faith, but we can encourage them to run. The second one is harder. Because Paul knows what it's like to get off track. He knows how it's sometimes easy to not only jog, but sometimes to not even run. And he has a word to us this morning, for us or for those we know that have wandered off the track. Because he says, you want to know the most reason people don't persevere in our faith? The best example is seen in something called the Boston Marathon. The Boston Marathon is said to originally have had many ups and down hills that you would run as you do the marathon. And when you came up one of the hills, it was called Heartbreak Hill. And that was the hill which would determine whether you would finish the Boston Marathon or you wouldn't. And what would happen is most people would hit a wall. At the 19th mile point of the marathon, your body would stop producing the nutrients that it would need for your body to run. It said that everything within you would turn to a lactate acid, that your body would begin to shut down, your muscles would be screaming for oxygen, and there was the test. The 19th mile, would you be able to get over the hump and to finish the race? Now, why tell you this? Because life isn't led or run on a path that is straight and flat. They're like Heartbreak Hill, are ups and downs in the story of life. And Paul says, I get it. I understand what you're going through. We picture it this morning of maybe a young lady who gets pregnant and the guy is not good for her to be around. He doesn't stay in the picture and there she's left alone. A loved one dies. We lose our job or we suffer a long term of unemployment. We know the pain and the lasting effects of a divorce. We know the financial catastrophe. We know of an emotional breakdown. See, there are people this morning who are in the midst of Heartbreak Hill. And he says, let's run together. And if you want to run together and you see that you're not alone, you turn to the book of Hebrews. And you turn to Hebrews 11. And here's what you hear. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, and the story goes on in Hebrews 11, the runners are able to finish the race. And Paul, who in the midst of a culture wanted anything but the message of the gospel, he says this, I get the fact that there are those who pervert the gospel, but press on and speak the truth. I understand what it's like to face temptations. For I know what it is to be in want. But press on and run the race. I know what it's like to be rejected by my own people. But run the race. Paul's challenge for you and I this morning is twofold. One, run the race and bring somebody else with you. And the second is maybe you're on a sidetrack this morning in the story of faith. Maybe you have left the faith. Can we as the church run with you or walk or crawl and encourage you to look to the hope and the trust in the faith of God, who not only called you, who not only redeemed you, who not only poured out his Spirit upon you, but to have somebody carry you to the next step of the race. Because here is the exciting news that Paul said, here's how I ran. I ran by placing my faith and my hope and my trust in Jesus. You could say that he kept his vow, that he kept his pledge, that he said, my life is in your hands. The statement in whatever faith tradition you came out of, whether it was in your adult baptism or your profession of faith, where you said, I will live for God. That's what Paul's saying, is I have kept that pledge. I have kept that vow. And now I'm at the end of the life. And I'm going to summarize the truth of the gospel. And it comes in 2 Timothy 4:8, that there is a crown in store for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. People of God, together, let's bring someone with us. And whether we crawl, whether we walk, whether we sprint, whether we run full out, let's finish the race. Because the best is yet to come. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you that we don't run alone. And Lord, we thank you that we get to do that together in a community of faith. And Lord, we thank you that we get to not only celebrate together, but walk with each other through the struggles. And so this morning, we continue to remember Ken and Roberta and Carolyn and Taya and Martin. Lord, all who need different measures of your healing. But Lord, we pray that you would provide that healing. But Lord, we would pray that you would not only provide that healing, but that you would refresh them, that you would strengthen them, that you would sustain them, that you would renew their spirit, Lord, and that you would encourage them when days aren't so good, but also to celebrate when days are good. Thank you for allowing us to partner in their story. And Lord, may today be a good day of your goodness and your grace within them. Lord, we thank you for Nick and Bronwyn, Lord, who could declare their love for each other yesterday. And Lord, we pray that as they became husband and wife, that you would bless them with a long and a healthy marriage. And that, Lord, your grace would speak into their story. And as we think of that grace, Lord, being poured out into our stories, Lord, we give you thanks that tomorrow a boys' club and GEMS can start up again. Lord, we pray that you would open the hearts of the children to receive the good news of the gospel of grace. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bring forth some GEMS leaders, Lord, that we can add to that leadership. And Lord, we pray that if there is a woman here this morning, oh God, that is sensing that call to partner, to walk alongside of a young girl, to help her begin the race or to move on in that race of faith, that, Lord, you would rise up more leaders. Thank you that we get to do that not only here but around the world. And so, Lord, we pray not only for our Bolivia team who will prepare to go out, but, Lord, we pray for the work of Phil and Janetta as well. As an extension of the local church, Lord, may much grace come out of the words and of the actions of the African Inland Church. And that, Lord, that you would use us together to run the race. And Lord, for each of us this morning, wherever we are in the story of faith, that you would encourage us this morning to keep our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. And it may seem this morning that we're just walking. As Lord, as long as we're walking toward you, we're going in the right direction. And we will learn to run again. Give us the strength, oh God, to keep on keeping on. In your name we pray. Amen.